So, you know, the theme for this month is humility. And I think for me, it just truly came at the right time. I'm at a point of my life that I'm really just, you know, like crying out to God to change a lot of things in me. And, you know, it's funny how sometimes you can just get into that mode where you're just living. You know, you're just going through the motions and you're not quite, you know, really connected, you know, to who you are and who God is wanting you to be. And so when this lesson started, I just said, you know what, God, I think you really just love me. And I just feel like you're coming for me and you're showing me how I can actually get to work on the things that I need to grow in and the things that I need to just change in my life. And so tonight, I want us to talk about growing, about growth. And because I think growth can only happen when we're in a certain kind of an environment. And humility is one of them. But my title is, Are You Growing or Dying? Are you growing or are you dying? You know, change is not an easy thing. I think change is very hard, you know, for a lot of us. And if you think about your life, there's just a certain way that you like things done. And especially when you become older, you know, there's just a certain way that, you know, works for you. And you do not want somebody coming and altering, you know, that direction of your life, isn't it? You just want it exactly a certain way because you know that that's easy. It makes life easy. It makes it manageable. You know, you're just able to, you know, just get on with life without any difficulties. And so we can actually, as we grow older, whether age-wise or even spiritually, we can become pretty set in our ways. And I think for the younger generation, you know, the more we learn, and I mean, it's amazing how much knowledge is out there today. And I think the more we learn, the more we, you know, just get to just catch on with all these things that are going on around us, the more we can actually feel like, you know what, I actually don't need to change a thing. I'm just okay the way I am. You know, in Matthew 18:1-5, now you'll bear with me, I really, really, really do need glasses. And I just hate them. I don't know how to use them. Actually, one of the times Andrea gave me a pair, and I'm like, I don't want to keep doing these, and, you know, that flip-flop just doesn't seem to work for me. But, you know, Matthew 18, I'm going to see if I can read this. From verse 1, he says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. He probably must have known the kind of a question they were going to be asking him. So he made sure he was around children. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such a child in my name welcomes me. Now, this is a very, very challenging thing that Jesus is asking the disciples. It's almost like, you know, like an insult. I mean, how would you feel if somebody told you you're acting childish or you're acting like a child? You know, none of us wants to hear somebody say something like that. You almost feel like, you know what, you're insulting me. Like, what's wrong? How can you say something like that to me? And yet, that's what Jesus is calling his disciples to. He's calling them to become like a little child. Now, let me ask us, what are some of the qualities of little children? Little ones. Okay, yes, Becky.
They want to learn.
Okay, they want to learn.
They don't know.
Yes. That's right. They know they don't know, and they want to learn. They are pure, pure-hearted. Yeah? Gina. They're dependent, yeah? They know that they need you. They know there's a lot of things that they cannot do without you, without your help. They believe everything. Oh, my gosh, I really need this lesson. Sherry. They ask a lot of questions. Some of them sound silly to us, isn't it? I know my daughter sometimes asks me questions, and I'm like, you are not seriously asking me that question. brutally honest. They're trusting. They love easily. They forgive quickly. Now, all these are actually qualities of a humble person, isn't it? Yeah, these are qualities, I think, for us, and because that's what Jesus is actually talking about right here. He's talking about us being humble. But he's talking about us changing, because he knows that, you know, when we are grown, then there's a certain way that we are. And he's saying, you know what, you have to change. And what I believe Jesus is saying is that it's a constant thing. It must be a constant thing. We cannot get to a point where we feel like, you know what, I have arrived. You know, I had somebody say the other day, you know, when you find people that feel like, you know what, I've arrived, I don't need anyone, I don't need to learn a thing, you know, what do you do with such a person? Like, all you can say about them is, you know, wow, he's arrived. Like, that's it. That's all you can say about them. And it's almost like they're here, and you're not going to move them from here anywhere else. And I think it must be very frustrating to deal with someone that is like that. Don't you think so? Someone that's not flexible, someone that doesn't want to think differently about something. It's very, very challenging. It's very, very difficult. And so, you know, our walk with God is actually all about becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's why we can never get to that point where we feel like, you know what, I am there. I now know. Nobody needs to tell me nothing. I am okay. Because then we are actually in danger of not being able to make it to heaven. Because that's what Jesus says here. He's talking about heaven. And he's saying, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, then you must become like a... Actually says you must change and become like a little child. And so it's all about change. It's all about being transformed. I know we had that theme last year on being transformed. And it cannot stop. You know, it must be a continuous thing. And so I have a question for every one of us tonight. When was the last time that you actually changed? Is there something in your life that right now, as I'm talking, in the last year, in the last few months, last week, today, that you can actually look at and say, you know what, I have changed in this area. I have changed, whether it's in my thinking, I have changed, whether it's in my actions, I have changed, whether it's in how I feel about issues, okay? Where you can actually tangibly, you know, say, you know what, I have grown in this area. Because if you're not changing, then you're not growing. Actually, a good indication of change, of growth, is if you're changing in something. So if there's nothing that you can actually look at in the past few months, in the past few year or years, and be able to look at and see that, you know what, I have moved. I am not the same. I am not the way I used to be last year. And there's a few areas I want us to think about. Are you becoming more humble? So, because this is a topic that we're talking about just, you know, in the last few weeks or the last few days. Have you grown more humble? Are you even in touch? Are you checking out? Are you praying for God to reveal to you areas of your life that you need to become more humble in? What about just becoming more spiritual? In your heart, in your attitude, in the way you think, are you more connected to God through the word and through prayer? Are you growing in your prayer? Are you growing in your Bible study? What about becoming more self-controlled in your speech, in how you talk? Or do you constantly say, but this is me, this is how I am? Like, come on, just get used to me, this is how I talk. You know, I think there's something wrong with that when you look at what Jesus is calling us to, isn't it? Jesus is saying that we have to change. So none of us can actually remain the same forever. You know, there has to be a change. There has to be a constant change in our lives. What about your relationships? I know this is a topic that, you know, we've been hearing a lot. And let me tell you, we're going to have to keep on hearing it. I know we're talking about safe people. How have you grown to become more of a safe person. You know, it's amazing how it's easy, and as I say this, I'm saying it of myself. It's so easy to look at all the things that everybody around us needs to work on and to grow in and to change in. You know, at times we say, if so and so were different, then my life would really be different. I have said that even in the last few months, in the last few years, there's a particular relationship in my life, and I have said that. I may not have verbalized it, but the way I've spoken of that relationship, I've actually been waiting on this person to change. Then I'll be different. Then I'll really, things will actually really turn around. And you know, it's funny how some things, I think Satan just, he's so clever. Now, he's not all clever, but that guy, he's smart. And he knows just how to just seep in and how to deceive us and how to, you know, get us to think of things in a very subtle way, where he doesn't just like hit you like, yeah, I'm blaming this person and that's okay. No, he just gives you a little dose each time. And before you know it, you're fully thinking in that way that's actually not helpful for you, but that's actually taking you backwards in your walk with God. You know, we hear so many lessons, isn't it? Yeah, we come in, and I'm not here to guilt anybody, but again, I'm speaking to myself. We come to church, we hear the communion message, we hear the Bible studies on Sunday, the Bible class, we have the midweek classes, we go for family group times, we have all these things that we are hearing. You have your quiet time every day, prayerfully, you know, and you're hearing things. God is talking to you constantly. Are we just hearing? Have we become just hearers of the word? Or are we actually taking the time to think through and to sieve through and to say, Lord, what is it that you need me to change? What are you saying to me, you know, through that message or through the word? Have you become more humble, more forgiving, more gracious, more kind? Have you become kinder? Have you become more willing to listen to other people? Are you more loving? Are you working on just loving the unlovable? You know, like, you know, a lot of us say, you know, children are open to learning. You know, that's their mode, isn't it? They're constantly just, my goodness, in fact, they say children are like a sponge. And they're just, you know, just, my goodness, they're just everything. They're soaking it in. And that's how they just grow and they become. And you know, I mean, they'll go to school and they'll learn all these things and you're like, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Their minds, and I mean, they're able to actually retain all this knowledge because they're in that mode of learning. I know just before, you know, just even before moving here, there were times when I was able to work with the campus ministries and of course, you know, with other different ministries at the same time. And I always say that the campus was my favorite group of people, because you know, they go to school and they're learning all these new things constantly. And so it's the same thing when it comes even to the word of God. They're like, come on, give it to us, you know, teach us, you know, and they're soaking it in, and you can see it changing them and transforming them, you know. But really, we can all actually be like that. We can be just those learners that God wants us to be. You know, Isaiah 43:19, if we can please turn there. Isaiah 43. Okay. Actually, let's begin from 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Sisters, we cannot say, I used to be humble one day. I used to be kind. I used to be loving. I used to be, you can fill in, you know, the dash, okay? But he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I think I may have you help me to read, okay? And so, you know, God is always wanting to do something new in each one of us. You know, because God is so big, sisters. He's so much greater than today. He's so much bigger than what you've already experienced in your life. He's wanting to change you. He's wanting to transform you. into becoming more and more like his son and more like himself. You know, and so, and this is what growth is all about. Growth is all about acknowledging the fact that, you know what, there is one that is so much greater than me, the one that I serve. And so I can never get to a point where I stagnate or where I feel like, you know, I've gotten it all, I have it all. You know, and so if we're constantly looking to God, there'll always be something new that we can always learn. So when was the last time that you learned something new? You know, just even in life. And I think that's something that could actually help us to become more attuned to just how much growing we are actually capable of. And so it doesn't matter what age we are, we can grow, sisters. We can become all those things that we ever dreamt of being. We can become all the things that God actually wants for us to become. We just have to be open, you know, to him. You know, if something is not growing, it's dying, isn't it? And I think for us as disciples, if we're not growing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in righteousness, in godliness, then the truth is that we're reverting back to our old nature, to our sinful nature. And that's why we have to be very engaged. You know, growth must be intentional. I know that the year is actually almost ending. Can you believe it? Just the other day, I mean, we had Christmas just the other day, isn't it? And then New Year came, yeah? And my goodness, there's barely, you know, 3 months to go. It's actually 2.5 months to go, and the year is going to be over. And I know that, you know, a lot of times we set goals, you know, we begin with that newness, and we're excited, and we're like, you know what, I'm going to really work on this. How have you done in the goals that you set? How are you doing, okay, in that? I know we had a theme. Does any one of us remember what the theme was? Remaining, amen. Yeah, amen. Remaining in the vine, yeah? John 15, yeah? How have we done in that, in just growing, in remaining in the vine? You know, growth must be a personal thing. Growth is actually a personal thing. I know there's the collective that, you know, we're working on as a church, but unless we all just go back constantly and ask ourselves, what do I, Carol, need to work on? What must I change? Then do you realize actually then that the church doesn't change? The church doesn't grow? I know sometimes we come and we're looking for, you know, how are we doing? How is the church doing? But can you imagine if each one of us intentionally just went out and we said, I'm really going to take this theme. I'm going to take this area and I'm really going to diligently work at it. Can you imagine how different the church would be becoming on a constant basis? You know, if we feel like, oh, I don't think the church is growing, you know, please stop and first look at yourself. You know, and before you look outside, before you look and say, you know, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with this person and that person? And, you know, first stop and look at yourself. Because, you know, a change, growth is actually contagious. It really is. And at times, somebody just needs to look at you. And there are people that you've looked at before and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so inspired, isn't it? And you want to just go back and work on something. You know, sisters, that's one of the ways that we can really encourage each other is by being that personal example to those around you. So I want us to talk about humility. And you know, humility happens in the heart. It is a heart issue. You know, when you read through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, it constantly reveals the hardening of heart of the Israelites. You know, that's the thing that constantly just drew them further and further away from God. And it was amazing just how God would work, how God would move, how God would rescue them, how he would bless them, how he would just save them constantly. And yet they just kept straying farther and farther away from God. You know, there's times I've read the Old Testament and I've had an attitude with the Israelites. And then I've told myself, before you do that, stop right there and look at yourself, because you could be in the very danger. And even in the book of Hebrews, you know, at the beginning, you know, he really talks about, you know what, be careful. Don't harden your heart like the Israelites did. And it refers to even the waters of Meribah, you know, where God would bless them and then they would, the next minute, they would basically be complaining and arguing with Moses. You know, and sisters, we are in danger. We're in constant danger of our hearts just getting hard. And you know, when your heart gets hardened, it's nobody's fault. It's your fault. Do you agree with me on this one? You know, because you know what, sisters, I have been there too. And you know, at times you're there and you're looking at all that people have done or have not done, and you allow it to maybe make you angry, and that anger leads to bitterness, and then your heart gets, you know, hardened, and then who do you blame? Other people. But at the end of the day, it's your choice. Because the truth is, people will always be people, isn't it? And no one around you is perfect. None of us is perfect. We are going to have our failures. You know, we're all working at making it to heaven, isn't it? You know, and so the hardening of heart is a personal thing. It's you that chooses to walk down that path that leads to the hardening of your heart. You know, humility is a decision. It's an acknowledgement of our own inadequacies, our own lacks of. You know, where you look at it and you're like, you know what, I actually do lack in this area. I'm not there in this area. I actually go wrong here and there. It's having that deep need for God's help. You know, our hearts can get hardened by different reasons, like pain and heart. How about that? When you go through pain, when you go through heart, and don't you feel justified sometimes? Because a lot of these things, I mean, you didn't go out and seek them out for yourself. They sort of found you. Yeah? Heart and pain, a lot of times, you know, comes your way. I think a lot of us, I mean, come on, I think all of us are pretty wise women. We wouldn't go out there and just, you know, sometimes we do go out there and we hurt ourselves. But I mean, there will be times, there will be a lot of times where we get hurt by other people. Or we just go through things in life, like illness. I think that's one of the things that can be very painful and hard just to deal with. Or loss, you know, just some of those tragedies that can come our way. Or just difficult relationships that, you know, it's not like you're putting yourself in these situations, you know. But these kinds of situations can actually, they have a potential. They don't have to, but they do have a potential to harden our hearts. What about disappointments, you know, in our lives, where you hoped or you expected something to go one way, but then it doesn't? It actually goes the opposite way. What about a lack of confession? Because you know what? None of us can claim that we don't have sin. Yeah? Actually, the beginning of hardening of heart, a big part of it is not acknowledging your sin. Okay? So these are some of the things, a few of the things that can eventually harden our hearts. I love this passage in Daniel. Now, if anybody is there, if they could please read, that would really help me, because I am seeing a blur, even though my Bible has very big prints. Please hold me accountable on this one. I do need to get glasses. Okay? So Daniel 10, 12. You know what? I actually had typed this one out. Let me just read it from my paper here. He says, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer." This is such an amazing scripture. And the Bible talks about, first of all, the angel is telling Daniel, don't be afraid. And he talks about since the first day that you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God. So Daniel was praying for understanding. You know, I have a friend of mine that always says how people cannot change what they don't see. And isn't that true? You know, could it be that the reason why you haven't changed anything is because you don't see what you actually need to change, what you actually need to be working on? And you know, sisters, and I'm going to come to this in a short moment. You know, the relationships, the one another relationships, these are some of this is one of the environments that God gives us that helps us to see what we need to change and what we need to work on. I have had one of those relationships that has revealed another side of me that I never thought I had. In fact, if there's a time I questioned if I was even a Christian, it's because of this one relationship. Maybe you have one like that. You know, and so God, in his wisdom, he puts us with each other because he wants to reveal what's in us. He wants to show it to us. But Daniel actually prayed. He got down on his knees and he prayed and he told God, you know what? I want to understand. Have you asked God to help you to understand yourself, to understand your heart, to understand where you're at? And he also asked for help to humble himself before God. You know, humility, like I said earlier on, does not come naturally for any one of us. Is there anybody here that feels like it's so easy for them to be humble? They are naturally humble. Is there anyone like that in here? I know. If you're like that, please, I really would like to talk to you because I'm telling you, it's challenging for me. It is challenging for me at times to just get humble, to just say, you know what? I am wrong. I am wrong. I'm sorry. There are times when I want to be right. There are times when I want to just hold on to, you know, what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. And I'm like, you know, but you did A, B, C, D, and you're the one that needs to work on it. You know, there are days when I feel like that. You know, and especially also when you have children. And, you know, a big part of actually impacting our children is them seeing us be humble. You know, I'm always so sad when I meet people who say, you know, Christians are hypocrites. And, you know, the number one thing that would make us hypocrites is a lack of humility, is a lack of what? Of acknowledging. Because, I mean, everybody knows that we are all sinners. But when we just cannot acknowledge our weaknesses, then there's a big problem. Now, but even if you're there, it's okay. I have been there. It's okay. The least you can do is to get on your knees and to ask God to help you become humble. Ask him. If you don't feel humble in your heart, please get on your knees. Cry out to God. Ask him to help you become a humble woman. Ask him to help you to gain understanding of your weaknesses, of who you really are, and of him. Because as we look at our weaknesses, we must understand who God is. We must see his grace. We must see his love. We must see his power and how he is able to change us. And that actually God is not there to shame us and to make us feel all these horrible things. No, he's actually there wanting, you know, to help us to overcome and to become all that he created us to become. And so Daniel saw his need for God. Do you have a deep need for God? When you get on your knees, do you tell your Father in heaven, I need you. I cannot do without you. I don't understand myself. I don't understand this situation. I don't know what to do. I need your help. You know, it's amazing how our culture actually teaches us the very opposite of this very quality that God wants us to have. Our culture teaches us to be self-sufficient or to actually look self-sufficient even when on the inside you're actually dying. And when you're crying out for help and you just, come on, just fix it. You know, you do it. You know, there's A, B, C, D. And now, my goodness, with Google, it's just killing dependence on God or on people. Because then you can just, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, come on, ask Professor Google. Just Google it, and you know, and it's amazing. I mean, you can Google the most weird thing. It'll show up with answers. I'm like, how do they do this? Who does this? Like, who comes up with anything and everything that any human being can ever think about or wonder about? And they have the answers right there. Now, of course, not all the answers of Google work. I hope you know that. I have Googled some that I'm telling you did not work. I have Googled some that, let me tell you, drove me to where I did not want to be. Have you, for example, we're all women, have you Googled a health condition? And the next minute, what are you thinking? You're planning your own funeral. Isn't it? And then you go see the doctor and he looks at you and he's like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. I mean, it's actually ridiculous. Yeah? I hope we don't Google things to do with God. It's okay to Google health issues. It's okay to Google exercise, those kinds of things. But please, sisters, when it comes to the matter of the heart, go to God. Humble yourself. Get on your knees. Get on your knees and pray. And God will come in response to you. He will. You know, God wants to help us with our growth. Actually, we cannot grow without God. He's the one who makes it grow. And so I've been praying and I've been crying out to God about that relationship that I shared about. And I've been telling God, you know what, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And it's been amazing. You know, I was saying to someone, nothing works with this situation. And here's an example of how it worked with another situation. And with this one, it's the very opposite. Nothing works. And I found myself saying, only love. Only love. And you know what? That was God speaking actually through me with the words he had put in me to answer me. And he was telling me the way this situation is going to have to change is through you choosing to love. And is that what the Bible says? Love is the greatest of all, isn't it? Love is the greatest of all. You can try all the other things, but if you've not tried love, then it's all useless. It actually will not work. And so, sisters, as we cry out to God, whatever situation you look at in your life, please never give up until you've prayed and prayed, until you've cried out to God. You know, when you think of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they're all gifts. Yeah? They're all gifts. You go to God and you ask him and he blesses you with those gifts. When you think of peace, peace is a gift that comes through prayer and being grateful, through thanksgiving. You know, the antidote of humility is actually prayer. You just getting on your knees and saying, my Father in heaven, right there. You cannot get on your knees and pray sincerely and wholeheartedly and get up from there the same. You cannot actually get on your knees and cry out to God and leave the same. You cannot. Even if the situation, and you know what? A lot of times the situation doesn't even change. Isn't it? The situation is actually the same. But because you went to God and he changed you, everything changes. And it's amazing how, even with time, that same situation can transform. People can change as they see us change. Isaiah 57:15. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. The Holy One says this. I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. I love this passage. It's very deep. I just want to encourage you, please go back and read these passages. It talks about God, and you know, our God is, he's high and he's lofty. But then he says that what? He says that he lives in that high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and they are humble. And you know, when you go to God and you're crushed in your humility, you're crushed in just your brokenness, you know, God is able to restore that kind of a spirit. He's able to just put it all together. So it is okay at times to feel crushed. I know at times, you know, we don't like hardship. At times we don't like mess, isn't it? We want everything to just all be easy and smooth. But God is saying, you know what? I will be right there with you. And I will be restoring you in that very moment. You know, he talks about how, you know what, he will revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. It takes courage to repent. It takes courage to just humble yourself, to see your sin, to go to God, to actually change. But God is able, you know, to revive your courage. He's able to bless you in that way. You know, I love Psalm 139, 23 to 24. He talks, I mean, David is asking God, you know, search me, oh God, you know, and know my heart. You know, just test me, yeah, and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, I just want to encourage us, sisters, to every day to pray this prayer, to ask God to just, to test us, yeah, to ask him to just search our hearts. And to show us what we need to change, and God will do amazing things. God will change you. He will help you grow. And then finally, you know, we cannot do it alone. I have just a few minutes, you know, so I'm just going to quote most of these scriptures. You know, James 4:17 talks about confession of sin. And, you know, the whole purpose of confession is not so that we can shame other people. It's not so that other people can feel less than those that don't have anything to confess, even though that is not true. I mean, we all always have something that we need to confess, isn't it? Because we sin. We sin a lot. We sin all the time. You know, but the Bible, you know, I mean, God just wants us to be able to have relationships where we can be able to go and confess our sins to one another. You know, 1 John 1:8-9 talks about how we just basically, you know, deem God to be a liar. We claim him to be a liar if we say we haven't sinned. But, you know, James talks about how we get healing. We get healing from confessing to one another. You know, when we pray for each other. That's the whole role of confession, is that we can be able to pray. Again, here comes in prayer, sisters. Prayer is such a huge, huge, huge role in our humility. And so when you go to somebody and you confess to them, you're actually saying, I need your prayers. I need you to cry out to my God on my behalf. I need you to cry out to my God on behalf of this incredible need. Sin is a huge need, sisters. We need other people to help us to overcome sin. And so, you know, by being in each other's lives as well, you know, we avoid bitterness. And, you know, a lot of sin, you know, we just will drive you down that road. Unforgiveness will drive you down that road. Anger, if you don't deal with it, eventually will lead you, will take you there. Unresolved issues will take you down the road of bitterness. And, you know, bitterness is one of those things, I'm telling you, if you've never been bitter, it's coming. Okay? It is coming. But you have to make a decision that you will not allow yourself to even get there. By having people, by having women in your life that you're constantly, you know, just talking to. So you can actually become better as you grow older. I don't know which of us wants to be around, you know, just women who are just grumpy. Yeah? And all they do is complain about this and that. And, you know, I mean, I went through something. And let me tell you, anyone that was willing to listen, I would share this story with them. I would talk about just my heart and what happened and what they did. And my goodness, I reached a point and I said, you know what? I am not going to talk about this to one more person. Enough is enough. It doesn't matter how deep the pain has been. I am not going to talk about it unless they ask. And even then, I don't have to tell them. I can make a choice of not talking about this because I realized it's actually not helping me get better. You know, the more I talk about it, it's actually just, and there was a part of the talking and just expressing my needs. There's part of that as well. So I'm not saying that don't talk about your feelings and what you've been through, but if it's too much, then there's a problem. And we have to stop, and we need people in our lives who also need to say, you know what, sister, I think you've talked about this enough. You know, what can we do? Let's get on our knees and let's pray together for healing and for resolution. Amen? And so we desperately need each other. Satan wants to convince us that we are okay on our own. How many of us have been there where you felt like, you know what, I can actually make it as a disciple on my own? How many have felt that way at some point of your life, that you know what, I am okay on my own? And then, a lot of times, God will humble you. God will humble you. None of us can actually make it without other people. We need the support system. There's a reason why God put us together. And so we must look into our hearts and into our lives and look at, okay, if I'm not close to anyone, if I don't have people in my life, what is the problem? Why is it that way? We have to look at that, sisters. Because Satan, he's taking away from you. He is taking away from you. He is stealing what you're supposed to be actually enjoying. I don't think there's anything better than spending time with other women, women that love God, and just being able to have that sweet fellowship. I don't think there's anything better than that. And let me tell you, I know in here we have a few young women. I don't mean to put you, a few young marrieds. You know, I don't mean to put you on the spot. But you know what? It's, you know, you get married and you're like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I am fine. And then soon enough you discover, whoops, I do really need my women friends. You know, I think God made it that way, you know, because you will actually not be the wife that you need to be, the mother you need to be, if you don't have good relationships with other women. Those are the relationships that where you can talk through things and you can get help and you can get guidance. And my goodness, don't we need so much help and so much guidance in our lives on all these areas? And that's how you become better. That's how you're eventually even able to enjoy, you know, your husband. My husband is definitely happy when I'm happy. So let me tell you, I spend time with women, and I love it. I love just, you know, spending time with sisters or spending time with women that are studying the Bible and just sharing with them the Word of God. You know, we need each other desperately. And so I just truly want to encourage us, because I know that, you know, Satan can throw you that end and you can feel like, you know what, I actually don't need it. Or we can even be in a place where we feel like, you know, there's no one there for me. And what's wrong with them? And, you know, we're not close. There's no love in the church, you know? And you know, I've had to really guard my heart towards being entitled as a disciple. I think there's a way we can just get entitled. And we can feel like, you know, I need this and I need that. And how comes I'm not getting it? And, you know, what's wrong with all these people? And you know what? What's wrong with me? Really? You know, and what's wrong with me is I've lost gratitude. I've lost the feeling, the honor, and the privilege that, my goodness, I have an opportunity to get to build relationships with God's daughters. They may not be perfect. They are not perfect. Believe me, you. I'm not perfect. None of us is perfect. But there's nothing like it. I just, to be honest with you, I just think that there's nothing like having women that you can be able to just get together with, and they're not, first of all, looking at you from head to toe to see how you're dressed. That they're not looking at your rings, whether you're wearing gold rings or not, to sort of figure out if you're in the same sort of ranking. There are women that just, they want to know you because of who you are. It's not based on nothing else, but just their pure love that God has put in us. Where in the world can you find that? That there are women that you can get together with and you can get to share. And I'm sorry if you ever shared something and people went out and they talked about it. That should never be. But if it did happen, I want to encourage you to forgive. And please don't miss out on just the wealth of having amazing relationships. Because I promise you, it's not going to be like that with every woman you get to meet and you get to know. It's not going to be like that. But you know, I don't know where you can actually go and confess and talk about things. You know, today I got together with two women, and let me tell you, I just praised God after that time. And I said, you know what, God, you just love me. And you, because I, you know what, when I look at my life, I see areas that I need to heal. And at times when you're hurting, when you've been through pain, you sort of feel like, you know what, I'll handle it myself. I'll deal with it. I need to just get into the Bible. I need to pray. And today, the two conversations I had, I was just even more convinced just how much I need amazing godly women in my life. I need them to just reassure me. I need them to just listen to me. I need them to just hear all my woos and all my, and where I've been. I need an environment where I can be able to grow and heal. You know, I'll refer this passage to you, 1 Corinthians 3:8-9. It talks about how, you know, one waters And one plants and one waters, but only God makes it grow. And so when we're spending time with each other, and actually the same passage in the NLT, you know, version, it talks about how, you know, we are God's, building, we are God's, what else does this say? Let me just get it. We are God, it says we are God's building, and we are God's, I don't have it here with me. It's just not coming. But it's more like, you know, his garden or something like that. You know, and so the relationships we have with each other are what helps with the planting. So one woman may be coming and planting something that you were not even thinking about. Are there things you've gotten together with someone and they've said something and you're like, there is no way on my own I would ever have come up with that idea? Have you felt that way sometimes? Yeah, and other people just need to come in and water it and encourage what's already growing. Yeah, so we need each other, sisters. There's so much to learn and to grow in and to blossom in. You know, so and that's what the relationships that we are in with each other are actually doing. And then and that humility right there, that humility, welcoming people and saying, you know what, come on, plant something in me. Water me. I need that encouragement, sort of. And when God sees that attitude in our hearts, what does he do? He makes it grow. He's the only one who can make it grow. You cannot make yourself grow, by the way. Oh, you have no control. You do have a control over your heart and over your mind and what you allow to come in. But let me tell you, what happens with it, what grows out of it, can only be done by the power of God. And we need God. But God puts us together because he wants us to be humble with one another. And you know, our humility towards each other reflects our humility towards God. I cannot say, Lord, I'll be humble to you. I'll submit to you. I'll love you. Oh, Lord, you're amazing. And then I come and I look at you and I'm criticizing and I'm saying, I don't need you in my life. That doesn't just correspond. It doesn't just agree. That's not of God. God really wants us as his children to work together. For those of us that have children, we want our children to work together, isn't it? And it's the same thing with God. That's what makes the family of God, the kingdom of God, the amazing, beautiful house of God that he wants it to be. His temple, you know, his building. We want to make it really beautiful. And so growth at times is challenging, and there can be those growth pains, I'm sorry. But let's not run away from them. Let's embrace them. It may be challenging, but let's embrace those challenges. I had a little something on growth. I don't know where it is, but it was really outstanding. But it just talks about change and just how, you know what, without change, you know, we're not going to be who we want to be. We cannot. And I just want to really just, I don't know, just emphasize on us going back and seeing the areas that we can grow in, that we need to grow in. And God is willing to help us. And I know and I believe that there's going to be women around you that want to just come on in there and help you to grow and to become all that God wanted you to be. So Jolisha will come and close us out and have a great evening. I love you all.